This podcast is brought to you by Men's Tee Clinic. Men's Tee Clinic is the team I trust with my total wellness optimization, and so should you. Five DFW locations with North Frisco, El Dorado Parkway at Dallas North Tollway now open. Call 972-GO-MEN'S-TEE or visit menstclinic.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It is an epic return to Sports Thursday. We're going to go around the big leagues and give you the latest Rob Manfred has done in his attempt to appease players and stop them from throwing at the Astros. Would this work, or are you going to keep on throwing at them? You can send us feedback on the Autoflex Leasing fan text. Yeah, it's a return to Sports Thursday, though, and currently the Jazz lead the Pelicans. It's 19-12 halfway through the first quarter, and the Jazz look good. Pelicans don't look too bad either.
Is this accurate? I saw it on the text. My this fire stick is not working. Rudy Gobert scored the first points of the restart.
He did, yeah. He was beautiful, dude.
That's funny.
He's massive.
Isn't that funny?
It is, yeah. I'm back.
He started the Corona, and then he got the first bucket.
He said today, I kind of felt bad for him. He said, people are treating me like I caused the shutdown of sports.
And it kind of feels that way.
It was the tipping point. I mean, yeah. He's the reason it happened when it did. It might have taken a few more days if it hadn't been that fateful night during spring training that the sports world shut down. Zion Williamson looks so quick, too. He's incredible. And, you know, I think he's already one of the top 10 players in the game. So tonight you'll have Lakers-Clippers, speaking of the absolute best players in the game. And then tomorrow night, Mavs-Rockets at 8 o'clock. MLB Commissioner Rob Manfred, though, now has the power to suspend players reportedly without pay or service time if they're caught stealing signs electronically. I think the biggest thing here, Jeff, it's twofold. Number one, he gets to tell them, listen, we screwed up. It's never going to happen again. But number two, it also says, by the power of deduction, I couldn't have done anything about it, guys. The rule wasn't in place. Now, MLB players will argue back. You could have. You just didn't want to fight. But now Manfred can kind of say, listen, you know, I would have, but we didn't have laws in place like this, just like we didn't have anti-steroid laws. It wasn't by the letter of the law. So my hands were tied. I couldn't done anything about it. Please stop throwing at the Houston Astros. What would be your response as a big league pitcher, Jeff?
I think seeing that story today, if I was a big league player, I'd be even more angry than I was the day before.
Ooh, why so?
Because it's like what every step that you take to – quote, prevent this in the future, is you saying everyone but them is going to get hammered. Mm-hmm. The only people that aren't going to get nailed for this are the players who cheated. Yeah. But, man, we're going to make sure through this rule that no one does that again. We're going to prevent it in the future. No one will win a World Series with cheating except the Astros. And you'll be suspended harshly, by the way, Joe Kelly, 8 games, which works out to 22 games if you had a regular season. Yeah. So a 22-game baseball suspension for throwing at the guys who were never punished for cheating the entire sport. Okay.
Yeah, that would really hack me off because I might have been thinking we're going to come up with our own cheating thing, steal a World Series, and then dare MLB to punish us.
I would.
Turnabout's fair play.
He can't win here. Rob Manfred couldn't win from the very beginning. When he and Major League Baseball somehow decided the only way we can get to the truth is if our opening line to them is, hey, I promise we'll never punish you for anything. Tell us what happened.
Yeah.
Like, that was the way you chose to open that.
Yeah.
And everybody's just buying that, well, we could have never gotten to the bottom of it if we hadn't promised them immunity. Investigate, man.
Yeah. You know,
it's terrible.
You could do it if you had promised them, I'm not going to suspend you. There could still be ways of really impacting the team in a way that might satisfy the rest of the players. Yeah, you guys are out here, but you can't play in the playoffs this year. your World Series has been removed from the history books at the official MLB offices. You're not going to go to the Hall of Fame. There would be plenty of things you could do that wouldn't involve suspending players or taking money from them. If you had promised all the players individually, we're not going to suspend you, there's plenty of sanctions you could pass against the team, isn't there?
Yeah, and I guess in a lot of ways they did, right? The GM, the manager, like they punished
draft picks.
They punished the. I don't even have a ton to complain about the way that they punished the team. It's just the fact that the people who cheated didn't get punished.
Yeah,
like yeah, Luhnow and AJ Hinch are gonna take the fall for the players who cheated other players out of a chance to win a World Series. And if I want to express how much I think this is BS.
Yeah.
Then I get thrown out of the league temporarily while they just get to cruise along like nothing ever happened. He had no win. From the moment that he said the players are protected if they talk to me, he couldn't win this because it's a self-policing game.
Yeah.
And now there's something to police.
Yeah.
Like even if you're somebody who says, "Oh, don't throw it, guys. That's stupid. Like it's dangerous." And
it's how the game goes. It's like saying, "Don't fight in hockey." It's what they do.
Yeah.
I mean, somebody could die getting punched and falling on the ice and hitting their head, right? It's how the game is. You throw at people who cheat because they're trying to take your livelihood.
Yeah, and now you've got something that, you know, a lot of times it's trivial stuff. And so if you want to complain about it, that's fine, right? There's something trivial. Oh, that guy, oh, my God, he celebrated when he did good, did well.
Yeah.
Sorry, dang it, Bessic. Like, I got to hit him now. No, this is literally – you a-holes stole a championship from the rest of the league and got nothing for it. So now there's something to really police. Yes, I want pitchers to hit them. No, I don't want you throwing at their head. But if you're good enough to put it in the small of their back, do it three times a night and see if Rob Manfred's going to suspend a pitcher a game. Let's see.
I think he will, and I think he might have to. It's fascinating to look forward to these nightly games and these updates on where this story is going. For now, Joe Kelly suspended 8 games. It just resonates. It was like, don't do it. Don't do it. You're not. No, it's going to make it worse. And now, the story that was kind of going away, you could just have beanballs and arguments, right? Just let the beanballs and arguments happen. It's good for ratings. You don't need to come in and suspend the players because now you threw a match onto a lake of gasoline. And this fire had died off finally because of the corona. Spring training, it was back. It had gone away. I think these suspensions are going to make them more outraged and continue to fuel the fire instead of putting it out, Jeff.
And that's all part of the no win, right? Because we knew this is the way it was going to be. If you threw at them, you were going to get suspended. And we knew before the first suspension, before Joe Kelly threw the first pitch at them in the regular season, we knew that you're screwed, Rob Manfred, because it's going to happen. You're going to suspend someone, and that player, that team, and the rest of the league are going to look at you and go, okay, they had the sentence was already written out. Okay, so they got 0 games, the entire team, for stealing a championship, and I get 8 for throwing a baseball.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing.
Uh-huh.
And that's the way it was going to be from the moment that the punishments were announced, this was coming.
Joe Kelly should call up the commissioner and be like, man, listen, I promise to tell you the truth about this if you don't punish me. Put it on Twitter. You know, and because they did that, it's, you know, put the double standard now in front page, 3-inch headlines around the entire internet. Now you've made this problem much worse by suspending the reaction to the initial crime. Here's Mad Dog Russo. He's going to break it down for us here on your home of the Rangers.
Tom?
Take it away.
Joe Kelly, I'm going to have to, who wasn't even on the 2017 team. This is the guy that the Dodgers are going to throw out there to send a message to the Houston Astros? Really? Joe Kelly, who throws a 3-0 fastball behind Alex Bregman's head, could have killed him? I mean, geez. I mean, who does he think he is, Don Drysdale? And then later on, he's throwing a pitch down by Correa. Correa, you know, basically looked at him, and I'll tell you, in a four-room fight, who are you taking, Correa or Kelly? He kind of looks at him, and then Kelly walks off the field and sticks his tongue out like a little baby and, you know, yells and screams at Correa. I mean, you got to be kidding me. Hey, Joe, why don't you, when you're in the clubhouse today, take a loop out of the 10th inning against the Nationals last year in Game 5? I mean, really, a guy on the 2017 Red Sox is going to start doing the Dodger bidding from 2017's World Series against the Astros. This is what we're coming down to. Why don't the Dodgers just be quiet, win ball games, and then in October, show up and win a championship? Please, enough. Joe Kelly, you must be kidding me.
Say it to somebody.
That's the other way of looking at it. Mad Dog Russo, a classic contrarian, maybe the greatest contrarian in the history of sports radio. He's taking the other side. Come on, Dodgers, win some games. What are you doing? You weren't even on the Dodgers,
Don't
Joe
hide.
Kelly.
But
you're on the Red Sox?
Does he not know that in 2017 the Astros sent the Red Sox home?
I think the Red Sox got him that year, didn't they?
No, 2017 is a championship year for the Astros. Okay. On their way to a World Series, they beat the Astros, or they beat the Red Sox in the divisional round. So, yeah, Joe Kelly's like, yeah, maybe that was my World Series, but maybe, you guys got it because you cheated.
Maybe Mad Dog Russo has something coming to him. I know he's been prone in the past to firing hosts on his satellite radio station for not knowing enough baseball history. That might be big trouble for Mad Dog. There he is.
Say that
all right.
to me.
Yeah, listen to you. It is one of the biggest mistakes in commissioner history, though, not punishing guys for stealing a World Series and handing down the equivalent of 22 games for throwing at a dude. It's insane. Other stuff from the first five games. The echo of the pop in the glove. Not great. Not great. Got to do something about this. We need some sound deadening around home plate. We need some acoustical panels or something like this. We got to get Ted Nichols Payne on the scene. Because the resonation, the echo of the pop of the glove on pitches and throws to first base, it's just depressing. It's an empty stadium.
Okay. I don't know what we can do about that, but I agree. We can probably figure this out. We can get an engineer on the case, and we can get to the bottom of this. Did you see that Joe West got hit with a bat and was bleeding out of his ear and had to leave a game?
No, I didn't see that.
There's like a fine line of things. Like Joe Kelly, for instance, there's a fine line. I support you talking crap to all of them and calling names and plunking people. I don't support you throwing at the head. Joe West is probably the worst umpire of all time. I only draw the line at, well, I didn't want you to get hit in the ear with a bat.
Yeah.
But, like, if you'd have taken one in the shin, I would have loved that.
That is unfortunate for Joe West, but I bet there are a number of players, very sophomoric and immaturely, you know, taking a little bit of pleasure in that. Mm-hmm. Okay, I don't know how I want to present this. I am a defender of the stadium. No other teams can come in here and make fun of our stadium, especially on social media. The fake grass looks hideous on TV.
I'll have to pay closer attention. I'll have to issue my vote after paying closer attention. I didn't really notice anything good or bad. I'll have to give it the once over.
Maybe I'm doing too much. Yeah, it doesn't look right. There's a glow that the artificial turf almost has when it's on television and the lights are hitting it that the real grass doesn't. And I know I was a big grass proponent, so maybe this is a little confirmation bias here for myself as I was coming into this kind of so-so on artificial grass. But, yeah, that's my biggest problem with the whole operation. The roof can be whatever the roof is. It's functional, it's light, it blocks the sun, and it gets out of the way. We're watching TV on what happens on the inside, and I think if there's anything they can do and go back and plant that grass, I know they felt like, well, the sun's not going to get in these certain pockets. Just bring out some damn grow lamps, okay? Extension cords and grow lamps. All right, this spot doesn't get enough sun during the day, boom, problem solved on the indoors. I don't know. To me, something is remarkably less aesthetic from last year and all the games at Globe Life Park compared to this one.
Okay. I like how passionate you are about your grass defense. And I'll put it in the record, and I'm going to take a gander, and I'll update you.
I mean, God did the grass. Anything better than that? I don't think so.
Well, okay. I mean, God created the person who came up with turf, you know?
Touche, sir. Okay, a night on the town in Atlanta. probably the reason for the Marlins outbreak. The Marlins dealing with the COVID-19 outbreak. Bob Nightingale, USA Today, some players hit the town after the team's July 22nd exhibition against the Braves. Some guys got careless. At least one guy did for sure. He went out, and I think he came back positive and spread it around. The outbreak has forced the Marlins to postpone all games through Sunday. The Phillies played a three-game series with the Marlins last week, have also postponed their games through the weekend.
At the end of this baseball season, there's going to be like four teams that played 60 games and five teams that played 56 and nine teams that played 51. The Marlins are going to have played 11.
Yeah.
It's going to be so random.
Well, there's quite a few takes going on. Woody was on with KNC Masterpiece, had the audio for you last hour. He thinks players that are reckless should be punished. I don't know if you can make the punishment retroactive, but I think that's what another rule Rob Manfred should come out with. If you do what the Marlins did, you go out in the town and you bring it back after a hard night of socializing, then while you're out, at least 50% pay. Let's knock it right out of the park. That's going to get the players' attention.
I support it. I don't know how that works with their contracts. Like, they'll be like, there's nothing in my contract that says I can't go to any place. And it's like, right, but then there was a coronavirus. And
yeah.
I don't know.
I don't think it gives the commissioner the power, but maybe he could at least try to pull it off.
Yeah.
Let the players know how serious they're going to take it. The NBA has returned. And, wow, look at that half-court alley-oop from Lonzo Ball to Zion Williamson, and the Pelicans are on fire. They'd now come back and lead the Jazz 35-29 in the NBA's first game back. The Pelicans up 6 points here in the second quarter. I tell you, I like this team. This team is going places here in the not too distant future, led by Zion, if it can stay healthy. All right, but training camp is underway with the Cowboys and NFL teams. Meetings and tests is all they're doing, though. The Bills had five positives, so they sent everybody home to do things online. And I would imagine here, for the first couple of weeks, it gives them a really good opportunity to just keep testing, talking with the players, seeing where they are, seeing when we're going to be ready for, you know, getting on the field, getting in huddles, and getting along the line of scrimmage. And, you know, the acclimation period is going to be really good for them. It's going to allow them to slowly get their bodies ready so there's not injuries, but it's also going to allow them to wade in and see, you know, which players are arriving ready for camp with Corona. But so far, no names popping up for the Cowboys since Zeke. So pretty good shape. Maybe we got some pretty good responsibility happening with this football team. All right, Trayvon Diggs audio, as he was the subject of a teleconference, which is in vogue now in covering sports. All the reporters had a chance to talk with the Cowboys rookie corner about, you know, his thoughts getting into camp and where they're going. Here's his initial thoughts on his first NFL camp, albeit a strange one.
I'm coming out here trying to work hard every day, you know, just leading and following the older guys and, you know, following their lead. They've been here way longer than me. So, you know, I'm just, you know, getting adjusted and, you know, I'm trying to compete every day. That's my goal, you know, to compete for a starting job and compete for a starting spot. So, you know, I'm just out here trying to compete and, you know, do everything that I can to compete. And I'm just looking forward to the season. It has been a weird offseason, but, you know, football is all about adjusting. And that's in life, too. You know, you need to adjust just to, you know, continue to grow and, you know, get stronger, get faster, and do things that, you know, you can, so you can compete and go out there and compete. So, you know, that's just my main focus, is, you know, just working hard and, you know, just keep my head down, just go to work.
Jeff, if he is not a starter, his goal to come in and compete, would that be a red flag to you if he doesn't beat out one of those three guys?
The three guys being Jordan Lewis, Anthony Brown, and Cheeto?
Yeah.
No, not necessarily. I think that because – I think he's catching some pretty big expectations for a second-round pick because we were throwing his name around as a potential at 17 if they got wiped out. So it was like, oh, wow, you know, you might have gone a lot earlier. I wouldn't view it as a disappointment if he doesn't start right away. I would view it as a disappointment if he didn't work his way into that at some point. And I think they want him to start. I think. Just because we were talking about his name as potentially a first-round guy. So I think they want him to, and I think he will. But I won't be disappointed if they say, well, these three guys were the best guys in camp, and so these three guys are going to play. I'd be like, oh, cool. They're going to actually let Jordan Lewis play outside? That's shocking.
It's very possible all three are still better than Diggs, but Diggs still has an upward trajectory. I just hope he shows up as that, you know, second round sleeper who should have gone in the first round, and it's very obvious early on. I guess that would be, you know, more talk of icing on the cake than a disappointment.
Well, he's still new to the position. I want to look it up because I don't have my draft notes in front of me, but he showed up at Alabama as a wide receiver. So he is not a long way into playing corner to be one of those guys just step in and be awesome, but he's got all the ability for it. And
do you feel better about him than you did Cheeto 3 years ago?
Yeah.
Good.
I wasn't a big Cheeto guy. I think I had like a fourth round grade on Cheeto. I liked Jordan Lewis more than I liked Cheeto. So I didn't love the Cheeto pick. I liked the Trayvon Diggs pick. So I think he's going to be a good player for him, but I wouldn't worry. In some ways I would be encouraged if he wasn't starting and if it was Jordan Lewis, Anthony Brown, and Cheeto, because it would mean that this organization and staff suddenly went, look, guys, I don't care if they're 6 foot. If Jordan Lewis is a baller and Anthony Brown's played well and Brown's going to play the slot and we're going to put Jordan Lewis outside, I'd view that as progress.
Yeah.
I'd see it as a team being like, hey, the best player, I don't care how tall they are.
They overcome it, you know, by being able to recognize quicker, by being more coordinated, by jumping. You know, there's all sorts of smaller players that have overcome tremendous circumstances because it's just what requires what the game requires you to do. And it's amazing how those smaller athletes overcome. But it happens all the time. Mm-hmm. And to pretend like we're watching Kyler Murray, you just break everything we've believed historically, but we can still hang on, hide over here at corner. It's ridiculous. Okay, cut 5 here. How have you been dealing with all the testing? This is it does. It sticks in my head. I hated going to the dentist as a kid. Throat culture is like torture to me. I can't imagine having to do daily nasal swabs with this COVID testing thing. It would haunt me every morning when I woke up. I'd be like, damn it, they're going to shove this wand up my nose again and hold it there for 12 seconds. Here he is, Trayvon Diggs. How you dealing with all the testing?
Just follow the protocols that they, you know, they tell us to do every day and just do everything that they're supposed to, you know. So, you know, just taking the COVID test every day and doing everything that they're supposed to and just follow the directions, follow the rules, follow what's going on in the building, and, you know, you'll be just fine.
I guess I have an unnatural fear of a 12-inch wand being shoved up my nose because none of the players are acting like it's a big deal at all.
I mean, 12, I would freak out if it were that long. I would freak out. And is that what they're doing? Or do we have other kinds of testing? Which ones come back the fastest? I don't know.
Maybe that would explain why they're not complaining about it.
Maybe they're just getting swabbed or something. I don't know.
Well, that is the technique. That thing goes up your nose, down into your throat, and there's a gland back there. They have to hold this cotton ball on, essentially, so it can get all the, you know, fluid on there before they pull it back out.
We still haven't gotten to a butt test. You still haven't figured that out?
Yeah, that might even be more of a deal breaker. Okay.
Can we go back to the first cut? Because I wanted to ask you a question about the first cut. When he said, you know, I'm just out here leading and following, and then he was talking about following the veterans who have been here longer. Do you think he got caught in generic sports cliche, like stock answer there? Or do you think that – it was like a really mature and wise answer? Because I can
football
go either way.
Justin.
Because he started with, you know, I'm just out there leading, and because that's what you're used to saying, right? And then he's like, oh, wait, rookie. And following, you know, I'm following the vets because they're the vets.
Yeah.
but he started with leading and then realized, wait. No. You're following. You're learning.
I think leading can be following. I don't know. That's a great question. We're just getting to know him. So I would like to believe that he's just such an evolved teammate or whatever, or leader. And I think that's entirely possible. All these guys that even make it to the NFL, for the most part, you got to be buttoned up and have your nose to the grindstone. There's some tremendous athletes who screw up through high school, college, and still get there somehow. But we know who those guys are by now. You make it through that gauntlet, you have to be pretty dialed in with a lot of stuff. But even then, there are guys who get the leadership because they've been reading it. Dak Prescott, you know, his major in college was something.
Was he not leadership?
College management? Leadership, or what was it? Zero?
I thought I remembered it being leadership.
Yeah.
That's a major?
Communications, yeah.
Yeah, it was
okay.
business community. I don't know. It was something along those lines that it was clear when he started talking about these kinds of things that he was read about it. But at the same time, Trayvon Diggs had the rookie nervousness. You know, here's this Cowboys media horde. They're all asking you questions, and it's just it takes a while for people to get to know each other. So I can't tell if the nervousness is him generically trying to get through words to put sentences together, and he's just searching for stuff, or if it's next level. But yeah, I want to give him the benefit of the doubt. You know, and here's more on that. Cut number 9. Was it frustrating not being able to have a real mini camp and training camp? Here's Cowboys rookie cornerback Trayvon Diggs.
I wouldn't not necessarily say it was frustration. Like I said before, you know, you have to adjust regardless of the situation, regardless of the circumstances. You know, you have to adjust and, you know, you have to adapt to whatever is going on. And this is what's going on. So, you know, I wouldn't say that was frustration. You know, you just make sure you're prepared. It's on you at the end of the day, regardless of what situation it is. It's, at the end of the day, it's on you. So you just do everything right and, you know, just focus on that and, you know, just adapt.
So he's getting a lot of credit for that. And that is a very mature mindset. You know, that's right out of Jason Garrett. Playbook.
I was gonna say it's very Jason Garrett, but it's not coming from Jason Garrett, so it's really encouraging. Like it's not something he's just been beaten down with by Garrett. It's like a real life answer for him where like, hey, you know, the circumstances aren't up to us, so whatever it is, we'll figure out the rules, the protocol, and we'll do the very best that we can. I love that answer.
Yeah.
Football's a lot like life.
Shut up.
By the way, Dak has a master's in workforce leadership.
Okay.
So, you know, a lot of these guys show up with a lot of, you know, experience studying what it's going to take to be that kind of a dude. But, yeah, Trayvon Diggs is pretty exceptional. He did play at Alabama for Nick Saban. That mindset, you know, really an incredible blessing. And it goes to that, you know, do you ever see people on Twitter or, you know, in TED Talks talking about the internal dialogue you have and the things you say to yourself and how it creates your reality? If you just acknowledge to yourself, this really sucks, now you've told yourself this sucks. But if you just tell yourself, it's the way it is, I can't do anything about it except manage my reaction. And if I have a positive reaction or maybe even refuse to acknowledge this sucks, every day my attitude's going to be better. And every day I'm going to give myself a better chance to be successful. That's what Jalen Smith did to an extreme with a handicap. It made him a one-legged dude. We'd ask him about it. You're like, oh, what are you talking about? No, it's fine. I'm just having a great football career. And, you know, I'm back to 100%. Look at this.
It's all good.
Whew, you know, and it yes, objectively, is it delusional? Sure. But, you know, it goes to managing your own thoughts and what you tell yourself and then paying attention to how that right there controls your attitude and the impact your attitude can have on the quality of work you do. It's really powerful stuff.
And you know what would be great is if it was as easy to do as it is to say and know.
Yes, yeah.
Like, right? I know a lot of these things, man. I've read a lot of books and done a lot of therapy, and it's like, hey, you know, what's going on today? What do you, and you could be like, well, this, and my reaction to it should be this, and I should, but it doesn't mean that that's what you can actually pull off all the time.
Yeah, everyday crosstalk at 1:40, Hagee asked me how I'm doing. Fantastic, Hagee. Outstanding, uh-huh. Hagee. Uh-huh. By the end of the segment, I'm like, oh, I'm miserable. This pandemic's taking it all out of me. Okay, what else is going on in the C-note here? The Cowboys news of the evening. Cowboys blue and white scrimmage. It's an exclusive from Fish. You're looking at August 30th at AT&T. And that's going to be a lot of fun. It's probably going to be the public's only chance to get a look at them and maybe the team's only chance to evaluate them in a somewhat game-like setting. But still not even that close.
Well,
so,
and surely they'll televise that, right? They
yes,
got to find somewhere to televise that. Because
I would hope
everyone
so.
In the world is going to watch that. I'm sorry. Everyone in the DFW is going to watch that. And that they got to find a way to televise the practices for me. Like, don't even put it on TV. Give me a login to something, you know? You need the media to cover this thing, Jerry. You want storylines. You need to let me be able to see all the practices. Thanks.
Give us something. Can Broadus wrangle some practice film or something? Does he know people?
You know,
can we get things sent?
I don't know. No, and if I
keep
did
our
know,
fingers crossed.
I wouldn't say it out loud.
Okay, all right. I like where that's
no,
going.
No, I legitimately don't know. But also, if I ever do find that out, I won't say it.
Man, I wish the bars would be open. I used to have a great time going to the bars. I know it's really important for a lot of people socializing, but Tyler Seguin shut down in the hockey bubble. It's not confirmed he has COVID, but if he does, you have Zeke, you have Joey Gallo, and then Seguin, three guys who are you know, pretty notorious or have a reputation for liking to socialize a lot and being out there having a good time. There's no doubt that, you know, and Abbott said it like 3 or 4 weeks ago when he re-shut down the bars. It's like the bars are just something that's, you know, probably going to have to take a big old pause until we get more of a permanent solution for this. I mean, those are kind of anecdotal, but that's not a coincidence, is it, Jeff?
You know, hard to say, Gavin. I'd hate to speculate, but I would have won at bingo is what I would say.
Yes, sir.
Yeah, I mean, it sucks for the owners of those establishments.
It does.
Like, hey, you happen to exist in an industry that, if not done right, spreads a virus, so shut down. It's like, yeah. Crap. Like, how many of those places aren't going to reopen?
Yeah, how do you pay your rent every month on those? I mean, some of those spots, it's like it costs like $20,000 a month to have a high profile location on a good corner and all that. And I just, you know, it's horrible. You know, when you see that loss of business, and they were very influential in getting permission to start back up. You know, because bars and, you know, liquor commissions and all that, they're very influential. But, you know, when it came out that, hey, we've traced this back, and a lot of the bars are what's responsible for the spread, and then those three athletes come down with it. Okay, the other news from earlier today involving your local sports teams, Jose Leclerc, he's going to be pretty much done for the season, right, Jeff? The Rangers closer.
So they said it's the same thing that Kluber has, but the doctor also said not as bad as Kluber has. So Kluber can't pick up a baseball for 4 weeks. JD has already said that even if he makes it back, it would probably be late in the season as a reliever. So for Leclerc, if it's not as bad, then I guess in theory, I don't know, end of next month? I mean, I'm totally guessing, but they're saying same thing. But that he'll miss an extensive amount of time. So I don't know if that's 6 weeks, if that's the season. I don't know.
The latest I saw, he's going on the 45-day DL. So unless there's an early exit from that,
yeah,
that's pretty much the whole season. You keep your fingers crossed. The Rangers are off tonight. They will visit the Giants tomorrow. And here come the nosebleed seats, Wolchuk and Chiafalo.
What's up, Zach, my friend? How are you?
How the hell are you?
Oh, we are doing fantastic. It is a Thursday/Friday edition of the Nosebleed Seats tonight. Since we have a short show tomorrow, we will be doing a lot of our Friday staples here on this Thursday night show. I also just witnessed my co-host, Eric Chiafalo.
Don't do this to me right
now. He took the fastest two, I think, any human being on Earth in the history of the world has ever taken.
I got hit with the Whataburger/coffee bubble guts, and
I thought he was gone for crosstalk.
I spent the C note, you know, grinding away in the stall. When I got out here for crosstalk, I realized actually I need a quick round two, and it was very quick. I'm professional enough to be here on time, and look, I'm here.
Now I heard the sigh from Jeff. There was that.
Well, so I can.
Done that thing.
I can hold on. I gotta remember the difference between sympathy and empathy. I can sympathize.
Thank you.
Because I was there about 2.5 hours ago.
Oh.
I've made some poor decisions the last few days. I was out of town. I got back in town, and I've been planning to go to the grocery store, but I haven't yet. So over the last few days, what I've eaten is pizza, Popeyes.
Mm.
There's something else with a P. Pluckers.
Yep.
So I haven't had like a grocery or a vegetable or a fruit.
It's a great week, man.
And when I was out of town, I didn't either. So that's at least 7 days without anything resembling like healthy food.
All catching up now?
Well, yeah. So I golfed this morning, but I forgot. I thought it was tomorrow. So I was laying in bed at like 7:40, and I got a text from family friends who are in town to see my family. And they're like, hey, we're on the putting green when you get here. And the tee time was at 8. It was 7:40. I was in bed. I was like, all right. Forgot.
Yeah, I'm just
thought it was
the
tomorrow.
Corner.
So I pop up, and breakfast was Spark energy drink. That was breakfast.
That won't keep you regular, by the way.
No, it will not. Lunch was the three-piece from Popeyes, dark, mild, fries, and a Dr. Pepper.
Good man.
Just the one biscuit. And so somewhere in the middle of the show there, we went to break, and I hustled over, and I'm handling up, and I realized, man, this is one of those that if you were going to do it right, is a 20 to 30 minute thing.
Yep.
And normally, you know, you can handle things in a couple of minutes, right? We'd linger because we're reading something or doing something or sure. trying to get away from something. But this one, I was like, man, this one's tough. So it was like a 9 wiper because Ooh. I didn't have proper time. So I was just like, well, it's got to stop now because. So it was a totally different segment without going to the restroom where I wasn't ready for the show to start. And that was my segment. But the bathroom one, I got back on time. But it was tough, man. It can be tough.
Now, Jeff, I do think for guys under 30, it's not the regularity, but it's the bubble guts that's their biggest concern
exactly.
at that age. Yeah. You know what I'm saying? I think you might have a fiber issue. Schiafalo has explosive issues.
Either way, they're both the same enemy, or at least, you know, like the same sort of, how do you say, like, is that a race? I'm thinking Tolkien, like orcs, goblins. Like, it all exists in the same realm.
Yeah,
where,
yeah, it's
know,
all bad.
It's a poop thing, and it's not good.
Everybody poops.
I don't know why we were made to do that, you know? I wish our body could just process what we put in it and have it remain.
Yeah, yeah. Just what do we do? We're so wasteful, you know what I'm saying? And it's disgusting. It really is. What's we're better about? Than that, humans. Okay, Rangers are off tonight. They'll be in San Francisco tomorrow. Did you guys have fun talking about the big win last night?
Oh, it was awesome. I was, and I listened, you know, I've been listening to your show. Fantastic job as always. But I was with Jeff. I was ready last night to come on and write this team off. They're the worst offense in Major League Baseball. They can't score a single run.
He was doubting. He was verbalizing
Elvis
his doubt
is
for
up.
Elvis at the plate
like,
in the
oh,
eighth.
This is a ground out.
Like, you don't trust your guy here?
No way. No way is Elvis Andrews about to put this team back on top. And then lo and behold, the bats started connecting. So we'll see if they can carry that over. Maybe they finally broke through. And against San Francisco over the weekend, maybe the bats will continue to be successful. But it's clear the pitching is there. Lance Lynn is an absolute bulldog. You know he's going to throw 100-plus pitches every single out and go at least 6 innings. But I do still have serious questions about the offense. But I do believe, and it's weird to say when you're only a handful of games in, but they were able to salvage their season with that come-from-behind victory. In a 60-game season, you cannot drop 2 games to the Arizona Diamondbacks, who are not a very good team, especially at home, and still expect to be able to contend, even with the widened postseason, to contend for a spot there. So, yeah, I mean, it was awesome. 7-4, big-time rally. We had fun talking with Jared about it following the game.
So, guys, I have a very tough baseball question for you.
Eric?
In theory, you know, if everybody doesn't play 60 games, the Marlins are on pace to play like 8 games this year. So if they go by winning percentage, and that's official, and that's the way they're going to do it, if the Rangers got to like 7-3,
yes,
would you encourage them to go seek the Rona?
I could make a case for it. I think that's actually
flying to Atlanta.
That's the outside the box thinking that we might need.
You just got to get your win percentage right, and then try to get yourself to where the league won't let you play for a while.
We're at 700, boys. Might be a big league record.
Just try to hang on. What if you just got to get there?
What if that was the Marlins' plan this entire time? It was
what's
just
their
like,
record? I need to see.
I think they're like 2-1 or 3-1.
That's a great plan.
They got off to a rocking start, and they're like,
Jeter was a genius.
There's no way this will last more than 5 minutes, so let's just derail our season.
Yeah, they're first place in the East.
There it is, man.
They're doing what they need to do to get to the postseason. They're 2-1. They're out front.
The Rangers were 6 outs away from being 1-4 against the Rockies and Diamondbacks.
Well, that's what I'm saying. That's why you just got to go on a quick streak here. Get up to, you know.
Exactly.
Get 7-3 and do what you got to do.
Do you guys think they can stay around 500 for the season? Zach, it doesn't sound like you do.
Oh, man. Yeah, Zach's a little bit more pessimistic. But it's all about the bats now. But then you have your arms are starting to fall off a little bit as well when you get the Kluber news and then the Leclerc stuff tonight. Like, who closes these games?
The Leclerc thing might be a blessing in disguise.
Maybe it is. I just wonder, this lineup is a little bit scary when you think about the lack of scoring that has been taking place. And maybe they can get on a nice little run here. But it's not something that you can be overly optimistic about right now. I don't know how you can be, at least when it comes to the offense. And then even the defense, like, as good as the pitching has been, the defense at times you're left scratching your head. So if all you can do is pitch well, I think you're in trouble.
Basketball is underway at half. They've reopened the NBA. The Pelicans lead the Jazz 60-48. And I'd say that doesn't look like too much rust to me. These guys are running plays and hooping. Maybe the
dribble,
Jazz's
pass,
shooting percentage.
Shoot. It's no problem.
Yeah, we're fired up for basketball tonight, man. This is so good. We'll be pregaming with Bobby Corella at 7:20 for tomorrow night's Mavericks tip-off against the Rockets, which is strong. But getting the Battle of L.A. tonight, like we're starting to get in that groove. Isn't it next week where it's just like sports galore? Yep. Like every sport staggered starts and we can all just soak it up together. It's going to be amazing.
It is on. All right, gentlemen, have a great evening, and we will, talk to you Monday.
Yep.
Is that right, or tomorrow night for a few?
We'll
talk to you tomorrow.
Looking forward to it.
Not getting rid of us that easy.
Sounds good, gentlemen. Have a great night.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.